Good morning, Elsie. How are you?
Oh, just peachy. Yay,
that doesn't
for me.
Sound good. Your voice never matches your sentiment. You're like, oh, I'm great.
Eeyore, he's
What's
my
up?
Favorite.
How is everything?
It's good. You know, this is a hard week for me because of the whole, like, I always put myself through this with my taxes week. I think you've known me now long enough that whenever my tax appointment is coming, it's always the same. And then every time it's over, I always.
Oh, right.
Every time it's over, I always go, ugh, I really need to not do this again, meaning my lack of preparation. And then I keep it going, meaning I prepare for the next year, for the next, like, week. You know, I start to do the I'm like, okay, these are the steps I'm going to take to not put myself through this next year. And I set it all up and I go, these
are
the
things. Yeah, but we never do it.
And I never do it. And so then and then this year I was like, okay, my appointment is on this date. I'm going to start preparing for it way before. And sure enough, a week before the appointment's out, oh my God. It always
every
happens.
Every year.
Yeah, and I don't really.
You know what you should do to avoid it is maybe put something in your calendar like 3 months prior to start getting your shit together.
But actually
put it in the calendar that you don't.
Yeah, totally. I think I what I did this year that's slightly different than what I've done before is I started a Trello board because I hadn't done that in the past. I usually have like a running, like just a pure text file that has all my notes in there for the year, which is it's the easiest thing for me to keep track of. But this time, what really stops me is the first step. Like whenever I go like, okay, I'm ready to do it, right? I'm ready to start. What's my first step? Like I always get stuck on the, okay, do I go here first or do I go here first? Okay, what should I look for first? And it's that first step that always.
An accountant?
Yes. And,
and
I actually started thinking about something like that. I'm like, what would it take to have somebody who can help me out where they do the work and they don't ask for very much money because where I could just.
God.
Because it's really not that much work because I don't have. I don't know. So we'll see.
It is that much work. Every year you get. All up in a tizzy about it.
I totally do. And then, and I still miss a lot of things. Like, I still miss many things where I end up not doing it. Like, I'll have my appointment and then he'll go, did you look at these expenses? And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't do it. But that doesn't mean, like, that doesn't mean I can just really quickly go look. It means that I didn't track it. So
I don't understand. How hard could this be? I mean, you get PayPal payments and you get Libsyn payments.
Right.
Why is it so hard?
Because everything has to be itemized and everything goes in different little places.
Doesn't it do that for you in PayPal? How many places are you paying
like,
out
as
of?
In like every. No. Everything needs to be itemized as in like this was a. What type of a business expense? This was an advertising expense. This was a business systems expense. This was this was an upkeep expense. This was an equipment expense. This was a software expense. This was an office expense. Like all of it has to go into the little places.
Yeah, but you should still have a spreadsheet that PayPal gives you.
Yes, but then it still has to go into my little place where I have all the stuff. So I have a spreadsheet where everything goes into, and I also have to have, you know, the receipt that goes along with it and all the stuff. So all of it has to be itemized. And so even just doing things like that where I have to go inside of, you know, like Acuity, right? So I go inside Acuity and I have to then import the invoice for the month inside of my spreadsheet with all of the corresponding receipts. Manually, because it's from one, it's like 1 to 12, and I have to have that receipt. And then I have the receipts for Libsyn, and I have to go in there and get all the receipts for Libsyn. And then I have to go in to get to Dropbox and get the receipt for Dropbox. And then I have to go into Backblaze and do the thing for Backblaze. And then so all of those things. But then now I am looking at the small.
Can't you just do a Gmail search for receipt?
Yes, but you still have to manually do the print out into PDF and all of the stuff and put everything into its proper place. So I have all the receipts.
You might be complicating it.
I don't think I'm complicating it.
The biggest thing with this is to get a system, and then the hardest part is following the system. So there's there's a thousand things that you could use. You could use Dropbox. You could use, you know, those scanners. You could scan the receipts in. I love the picture of where your daughters took the receipts and cut them into little snowflakes.
Oh, my God.
That was the best thing I ever
saw.
It was so awesome.
That was awful.
Oh, my God. I just loved it. I loved it.
So just to let the people know, I had, you know, all of my receipts for PodFest. I had all of those because those receipts go to Libsyn, right? And so I have an expense spreadsheet that I have to report to Libsyn. I have to give them the actual receipt, and then there's a spreadsheet where I import, you know, put all the information in there, and then I send that off, and then they reimburse me. And so I had all of these receipts inside of a Ziploc bag next to my bed, like right next to my bed. And I was working,
like most accountants do.
And then I was in the living room working. And then Hunter, my 9-year-old, actually comes back and she is super stoked. And she looks at me and she goes, "Mama, look what I made." And then she shows me this beautiful, like long, like snowflake. You know those snowflakes that you cut for Christmas? Like a big long thing made out of paper. She's like, "Look it, I made art. Isn't this?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is so pretty." And she goes, "Yeah, it's from a receipt. And I was like, "Oh, cool." I didn't even think, because we have so many of those really long receipts from like Whole Foods and or like regular, you know, supermarket or something. So we have so many of those that I thought, oh, she just found one of those. And then I come inside the bedroom and I see all of the little bits and pieces of receipts. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I realized she took out the receipts from the little Ziploc bag. And those are the
promptly
ones that
shit in your pants, because that's what I would have done.
Yes,
she got into your stash.
Yeah. Yes, she did. But she didn't. But the thing is, she didn't mean, like, she didn't in any way, like, there was no, like, special place for these things. They were next to the bed inside of a Ziploc. She didn't even think about it, right? But I did get very, I was mad. I was like, oh, I mean, I was mostly mad at myself because I left them in such a vulnerable place. I should have known better.
I'll say, I wonder how many financial podcasters that listen to this show right now are yelling at their podcast catcher. They're probably yelling at it right now about everything you're talking about.
And here's the other thing, too, that everybody has a solution. Everybody's like, well, why don't you just...
Yes, really, of course they do.
But here's the other thing. It doesn't matter. Like, every one of us has a thing that we need to work on, and that's everybody's like, well, Jess, all you have to do is fill in the blank, drink more water, go outside and rock around the block. You know, like you could just, everybody has a solution that seems incredibly simple to them. And unless you are ready to take on and say yes to it with all of yourself, it doesn't matter how simple the solution, it's not going to happen.
You know, I think it's the problem is because it's only once a year. The pain's only
once
a year.
So I think that's what it is.
So if it was every month, you would probably do something more to it.
And
if I hear one more person tell me to eat less and move more, I'm going to throat punch them.
Yeah, no, you're right. And
but
see,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and so I think that's what it is. Most other people think they have the solution and it's only this. And when the majority of that choice really has to be, an internal choice, and it has to be up to you to do it. And for me, you totally nailed it, John, because it is, the pain only is once a year. And there's times for me where I feel like the time investment throughout the year, like spread out, like I could be doing better things. I'd rather just cram it all into 1 week than have that mind, like have it suck my time up and at other times of the,
because I kind of feel like that too, actually,
because
just suffer for 1 week. Don't let it piddle away at my soul all year.
Yeah. And also, you know what it is? It's true. It's like, I've tried to do this kind of thing for social media marketing and stuff like that, where I have set up systems for sort of keeping better track of of some things, more for getting data points. And I find that I spend more time administrating than I do actually creating things like the content. And then what happens is my time is used less wisely because I am doing more of the of the admin, and then I don't work as well. And that's how I feel about this kind of stuff too. It's like I feel like I need to have an assistant. I need to, or somebody who's doing the admin stuff, the stuff that is just time consuming.
Totally.
And
I thought I was your assistant.
Shut up. You know you're not my assistant, you dork.
I'm just kidding. I like to play assistant. I'm not an assistant, but I play one on TV.
You know, it's funny. It's the same thing with podcasting. In other words, whatever you're good at is what you're going to gravitate to, is what you're going to want to do. For me, it's the technical side of it. I love this part of it and the sound and everything and the content. Right. But I hate the social media and the promotion. So even if I do this, oh, I'm going to set it up, or I'll see somebody else is doing a great job and I'll try to copy what they're doing. It always gets back to the time where like, hey, I'll do that later. And later never comes.
Yeah.
Later you almost have comes. To chain yourself to the desk and say, okay, for this right. amount of time, three times a week or four times a week, however long it takes, I'm going to chain myself to the desk and I'm going to write four tweets so I can at least get one out a day and then try to double that. Because until you do that, it's what you hate, it's what you don't like, but it's really what you need to do the most. It's the same thing, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. So, yeah, there's resistance, obviously. And I think, and it's true, it's like it's about the amount of people that are in front of you and helping you out. Because with some of this kind of stuff, the only way know that I would make any progress would be to be accountable to somebody, but not even accountable to somebody on a phone call. I would need somebody to like be next to me. Like that's all I know, is that they need to be next to me and kind of essentially hold my hand. In the same way that when I was practicing yoga a lot more consistently, it was because I was showing up to class. Like having a practice at home is so much harder, because you have to do it yourself. It's so much easier to have the support of other people around you to get stuff done. So, yeah. Shall we listen to a little tip that we have from one of our sponsors of this week? What do you think, Jess?
Improving your room can have a huge effect on your sound. First of all, you need to think about quiet. You need to think about the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. Can you turn it off? Is it too noisy? Think about traffic, both outside your house and inside your house, outside your room and inside your room. Think about the computer itself and the fans. I once had a client who had a fan that was so noisy it was vibrating the desk, and it was sending vibrations into the stand that her ATR 2100 sat on, and it created a big hum that we had to get rid of. In your room, you also need to think about two things, absorption and diffusion. Absorption is what it sounds like. It absorbs sound. So things like a carpet are good if you have wood floors. You can even hang drapes on the walls. Heavy drapes will absorb a lot of sound. Diffusion breaks up the sound. A simple way to do this is just have bookcases in your room with books. That'll keep the sound bouncing in all different directions instead of directly back at the mic. You also need to think about the location you are recording in the room. You want to be away from walls, but not in the direct center line of the room if you can possibly avoid it. Being away from walls prevents early reflections, and not being in the center of the room prevents weird things from happening as the sound waves bounce back towards the center of the room. And if all else fails and you can't get your room exactly the way you need it, always record 15 seconds of silence. Even noise reduction plugins and free software like Audacity do a great job of removing noise if you can let Audacity analyze part of your sound file that is supposed to be silence.
My name is Tina Conroy. I am the host of the Intuitive Women podcast. I am thrilled that Emerald City Productions is my producer for my show. I know I couldn't have done this alone. When I decided to do a podcast, it was very overwhelming and it was pretty scary. I'm so glad that Danny helps me through all of this. I've had trouble with sound over the last year or so, and he's always gotten on a call with me. We fixed issues. There's even been times where I've sent him what I thought would be the episode, and then after hearing it, I asked if we could redo it again. He's so patient, and he's always there to help me with a perfect show. So thank you so much, Danny, for all that you do.
That's actually a really good tip, because I am actually sitting in the exact location of my room that he said, and I didn't know that about leaving silence. Did you? That if you leave silence, it'll pick up the room for a second?
Yes.
It's one of my pet peeves because a lot of people, when they send me stuff, they'll do what I call cleaning for the cleaning lady. Like, they'll try to, like, cut off the ends of the roast. And so what I need that tail. I need the tail at the beginning and the end. He said 15 seconds. I pray for 5. Like, if I could get 5. You know, I don't know if 15 but I pray for, like, if somebody could just sit there and not say anything. Don't breathe. Don't sniff. Don't move papers. Just give me the ambient room noise so that, you know, I can use the processes. And then I also like to grab, like, a little quarter second of silence. I call it the quarter second of goodness. And then I can cut out, like, breaths and ums and stuff like that by just selecting and pasting in the ambient room noise. So, yeah, that's a – I'll tell you that. One thing about editing is if you send your editor a nice piece of audio and you leave a tail on both ends, he'll love you.
We love that.
And Danny has some pipes, doesn't he? I wish I could. If I had Danny's pipes, forget about editing, Danny. You should just be going out doing voiceovers.
I know, you should. But see, here's so funny. This is what's so funny. It's like, it would be like torture for us to do like rooms, like for 15 seconds of room silence for like Jess and I in some way. Because inevitably, somebody's going to shift. Somebody's going to bump something. Somebody's going to open something. Somebody's going to drop.
But I don't want to. I have a thing that I do with you two that I don't know if I should.
Don't tell us, because we'll stop.
Why? Okay. What is it?
Well, what I do is I say, okay, remember, we're gonna start. So all right, so get ready, everybody ready, and you're like sitting there, and I'm counting to 5, and then I hit the music. So I'm sitting there like you're all waiting for the music to start, and then while you're doing it, I'm counting to 5. So I do.
Oh,
get
you're
my
doing
5
that on purpose.
Second. Yes. Right. But then most of the time, you guys are still giggling and stuff before we start the show anyway.
You make us sound kind of ruin silly.
Oh,
you're
my
making
God.
It sound like we're doing something silly.
Well, most of the time, the pre-show is pretty funny. The stuff
true.
That we do in the very beginning.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So very good tips.
Okay, that was a tip from Danny Osment, Emerald City Productions. His website, emeraldcitypro.com, and he has very graciously offered a free 30-minute sound quality assessment for anyone that is going to produce a production package. So go to emeraldcitypro.com. Please tell him that you heard his ad on our show so we all know that these ads work. Da, 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 da. Emeraldcitypro.com. 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 Ask for Danny Osment. He is the boss. He's kind of awesome. Actually, if you go to his website, his studio is amazing. Oh. He has the most beautiful office of anyone I've ever seen. It's like wood, and all the walls are soundproof, and he's got like the badass speakers behind him. He looks like a podcasting evil genius sits in this chair. You should go see. He's got a Himalayan salt lamp in the middle. It's amazing. It's truly amazing.
Wow.
EmeraldCityPro.com. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Danny, for that tip. Those were so useful, I thought. Yes. I mean, I was following along and making sure I was doing everything right, so it was fun.
Yay. Awesome sauce. So now can we move into some news?
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news. Okay, so this week Edison Research released new data. The Infinite Dial 2018 came out. Hooray, hoorah, hooray, hoorah. Unfortunately, none of the information was really that different. It was all the same, plus 2 points. There's your report. Baracha. The only thing that was different of note that I thought, I mean, lots of people are like, oh, we're noticing steady growth. Oh, look at this. This is happening. This is happening. Just add 2 points to everything except... how many people are on Facebook? Subtract 5 points. The end.
Yeah, it actually
but
was
seriously,
something along
it's
those
the
lines.
First time in the history of Facebook, like 5% less people are using Facebook. And everything else is growing. Snapchat, Instagram, not Twitter, but like Snapchat and Instagram are growing. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And
news
so they
over.
Said that.
No,
but the old people are still using Facebook.
Right. And see, here's the thing, too, that they were really... So the difference that they were talking about is that this is the Facebook, the social media site, had lost or had decreased, but Facebook company continues to grow. So that's like that he did make sure that that was very clear, simply because, you know, Instagram is a property of Facebook, and Instagram is for sure expanding and growing and doing its thing. So yeah, but definitely it was one of the first times that Facebook hadn't grown to the degree
no,
that most
it's
people
the have only it. Time.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
The only time. It's not one of the first times.
It's the only time
since 2008 that Facebook has not only not grown but diminished.
Hmm. Well, they keep
the
messing
only
with
time.
It.
No, it's not because they keep messing with it. It's because this is the first time that they have. It's not though. No, they've always kept messing with it. This is the first time in 10 years it has been proven to be fooling us, messing with our emotions, giving us false information, and generally trying to make us more depressed. All of that happened like in the last year. We learned Facebook is fucking with your feels and telling you all the wrong news. That's why it's diminishing. Before that, they were like, we're going to make the page look like this. We're going to make the feed do this. You want to see these friends? We'll show you these friends. You want to see these friends? We'll show you. This is the first time they're like, wop, wop. And so I think people are like, no, thank you. But, you know, Instagram's feed is annoying. Why can't it just be chronological? I'm afraid to like something. If I like something, it's all I'm going to see.
Yeah. I have to say,
Instagram... I've been using Instagram now for a couple weeks, more heavily. And I have to say, it is way more annoying than Facebook. I mean, I'd rather have my feels fucked with and at least know that what I'm seeing in the feed is like somewhat chronological or whatever. But like with Instagram, I just feel like I keep seeing the same people's stuff over and over. God forbid I like something. That's all I see. I can't get to, you know, I'm following like 500 people, some of which I'll never see. I don't think I'll ever get to see it ever. And then what's with all the ads? Every third one is an ad that I don't want, that they think I want stuff, and then I kind of do want the stuff, and then I'm annoyed that they're pulling me in.
Yeah.
How do I make it do what I want? It's just I'm at their whim. I find that so irritating.
Yeah, I actually really love Instagram. But because
why is it annoying me?
I have a completely different use for it. I follow people that I don't follow anywhere else on Instagram, and I really go down rabbit holes in Instagram. Like I very rarely see the people that I have known for a long time, like even people like you. Like I don't see you on my feed very much. Like at
I know.
All. Because
I have to look.
Yeah,
for
I
you.
Have to look. Yeah, exactly. And
I
the
find
thing
that
is
so irritating though.
But I am seeing things that I'm interested about and I keep on commenting on that, and it's because it's really strange. I'm using it for difference and expansion, and the ads that I'm getting I really like because they are really keyed into the things that are resonating with me. So I'm actually strategic in the way that I consume Facebook, and it becomes more of a research place for me. I keep saying I go down rabbit holes, but I add so many people because I want to see what they have to say, and I connect with them in that way. But nobody that I know, like I almost rarely follow people that I know. Does that make sense? Like, it's all new people.
Well, that's odd.
It's all very
new. When I first signed up, though, it made me follow all the people I followed on Facebook. And I would love to get rid of them all, but I can't. It's impossible. Yeah.
I actually never did that. So everybody that I follow.
I didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, I hate it when they do, like, follow this. So-and-so is up there. I hate that. So I actually didn't mean
to do it, but, like, I'd love to get rid of some of them.
And then what sucks is that when you want to stop following them, you have to go into the person's, you have to like go into their profile to unfollow them. And that's annoying as all get out because you have to manually do that.
It's much easier online. I'm doing it online and it's much easier.
Oh, good. That's really good. And, you know, and so I honestly follow all kinds of people that I haven't followed any. Like, I don't follow the majority of the people that I follow on Instagram. I do not follow anywhere else, like on Twitter or on Facebook. None of that stuff. Not because I don't like them, but because I want to follow them on Instagram, or this is where I found them. And I'm a really big fan of following brands, but like not big brands, but smaller brands that sell things, like stores. And I do a lot of shopping.
Yes, I bought that t-shirt, Phenomenal Woman t-shirt.
Yeah, I do a lot of shopping on Facebook. I mean, sorry, on Instagram. And because they really draw me in. Like, I follow so many local stores, so many local restaurants, so many small businesses, so many, like, and you know, when you, like, okay, so let's say you go over to, because I bought that t-shirt, it's from Phenomenally, and it's this, it says Phenomenal Woman, and it's like a $35 t-shirt, and it goes, all of the proceeds go to these incredible charities, and I really love them. But if, let's say I go, okay, now I'm going to follow Phenomenally, and then if you go follow Phenomenally, it automatically starts to expand and into all of these other kind of accounts that are kind of like Phenomenally. Usually it shows like the people who started it and then other companies that are like that. So I generally do that. Whenever I follow one account, I all of a sudden follow 10 because I'm like, ooh, this person looks neat. Ooh, this person looks neat. Ooh, this person looks neat. And you can tell that I go through processes of, like, let's say I'm looking for tattoos. A tattoo artist or something, if I'm researching tattoos, all of a sudden I follow like 15 tattoo artists. And or if I'm like, ooh, exactly. I want to know about, you know, primal food, like things that have to do, like, you know, some kind of really awesome paleo chefs or something that are on Instagram, then I'll follow 10 of those, you know. So all of the stuff on Instagram for me is quite expansive like that. So that's why I like it. It's different because when I go on Facebook, I feel the same thing. It's like, I'm like, it's these people again. But when I go on Instagram, it's a completely different thing. It's a totally completely different. Like, I don't see the same stuff. And then that way, if I go on Facebook, then it's weird. Then I see your Instagram posts, Jess. When I go to Facebook, I see your bizarre. I know. So I don't know. And I guess maybe we should think about that from the perspective of podcasting too, because I follow a lot of podcasters on Instagram, and I follow primarily just to watch them promote themselves. I've been kind of seeing things that work, things that don't work, when this works, when that doesn't work. I love to get inspired by some of the ideas that some people are putting out there. I really dive into the content. I see when people get reactions. So I really enjoy doing research like that. And interestingly, since I also run the Libsyn Instagram account, that's all podcasters. And so I'm getting a really big education now as to how podcasters are promoting themselves. When, you know, I talked about this last time, a couple of years ago, I went into Facebook to start the Libsyn account and it was like crickets, like no one was there. It was awful. It was like, oh my God. But now there's so many people, and I have to say there's a lot of podcasters that are doing great stuff on Facebook, and there's a lot of podcasters that are doing awful stuff on Instagram is what I meant to say.
Instagram,
great stuff and awful stuff. There's very little in between stuff where
I know
it's either amazing and horrible. So it's like, oh my God.
So what's amazing?
Amazing is whenever when podcasters start to build community, and usually it's the community driven podcasters, the ones that have a posse behind them,
a posse,
it's kind of like what She Podcasts is like that. It's sort of like I think Super Mamas. I think that's what they're called. They're like this group of it's a Latina couple, kind of like Jess and myself, two moms that are, they actually used to have this restaurant. They actually are some of the co-owners of this restaurant that I used to go to in LA a long, long, long time ago. I had no idea that they owned them. It's called Gelaguetza. And Gelaguetza is Oaxacan food. And it's so yummy.
Gelaguetza.
It's so good. They have like this insanely yummy food. But anyway, I had no idea that they were on Instagram and that they had a podcast. And so they're called Super Mamas. And it's the Super Mamas podcast. And they've got over 11,000 followers. They have a weekly podcast. And they do an incredible job. promoting their show on their Instagram account. They have pictures of themselves. They also have pictures of the community. They show images of things that they support, their kids, their history. Like, you can immediately understand who they are as a as a cohesive show by just looking at their Instagram account. And they really inspire a lot of people to kind of step into their ecosystem. They also each individually have their own Instagram account above that. So, of course, I follow Super Mamas, and then I follow each one of the co-hosts. And so I really appreciate what they're doing on Instagram. And it's something that I teach inside of the E-League, which is from show to ecosystem. And that concept for me is that you essentially, you have a hub where that everything leads into, but also there could be people who are never going to step into the entire of your ecosystem. They're just going to follow you in one place. So I feel that Super Mamas does an amazing job just being on Instagram. So I get all that I need from Super Mamas on Instagram. And I'm sad to say right now that I haven't listened to their podcast, not because I don't want to, but because I, like somebody, as somebody who listens to podcasts all day long and also as part of my job, I have a harder time adding more listening things into my ears, but I'm completely unusual and I will listen. But I know that I feel like I'm part of the Super Mamas community, even though I'm not a podcast listener. Does that make sense?
Well, you're going to be, so that's good. So can I? So the next thing is, without outing anybody, what are people doing bad on or horrible on Instagram? Like, what do you see that's horrible
when that they're doing as podcasters? When they come in and they post their latest episode and they have a graphic that is so cluttered with information, you don't even know what it is. And then they put it up and they go, "We just put our latest episode up. It's awesome." And then they go, "You can find it on Spotify, at Libsyn, at Apple Podcasts, at Stitcher, at..." And they just put all of these things and all of these hashtags. And there's nothing else. And it's always the same post, but with a new episode.
Yes, I hate this.
So
as well.
Then, like, when you look at it, you're like, you essentially say, "Thank you," but it has no... Like, it doesn't... This post could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. It doesn't matter where I see it. It doesn't in any way reach out to me and tell me anything about you, like at all. And so, you know, when I go to these accounts sometimes, I'll go in and I'll see almost exactly the same graphic the entire time. And it's not appealing to me at all. It's like a placeholder. And it doesn't tell me anything more about your podcast, what you're about, who your community is, why I should listen. Like, there's none of that stuff. There aren't any posts in between that make me want to be part of something.
So this week, another sponsor that we're excited to talk about is Podcast Movement. We are planning, first of all, She Podcast is planning some very exciting things for Podcast Movement. But let me just tell you really quickly about the event in case you're new to the world and you've never heard of it. Podcast Movement this year is going to be in Philadelphia. It is the largest gathering of new and veteran podcasters, or anyone looking to start their own podcast the right way. And I say that with my fingers in quotes. Join over 2,000 podcasters from around the world this July 23rd through the 26th for 3 days of workshops, panels, parties, Patagonias, peanut butter. And it's all in Philadelphia. The conference offers over 100 sessions on topics ranging from the technical aspects of setting up your equipment and the audio to marketing and monetizing your current or future show. The Expo Hall in Philadelphia is ginormous, and it features over 60 podcast service and equipment providers. So whether you're looking for a microphone, trying to figure out where to host, anyone who matters will be on site and there to help you out. It's also a good place to meet some of the people you've always wanted to meet. I got to do a quick interview of Mark Maron. I've done quick interviews of Pat Flynn and Cliff Ravenscraft and Srini Rao. And I said Rao. Srini Rao. I just couldn't remember his last name for a second. I had a brain bust. Who else have I interviewed? I really wanted to see Aisha Tyler, but I only saw her on stage. But Anyway, I've met the most amazing people at Podcast Movement. I've made the best connections at those events. They're huge. They're fun. They do have great parties. Please go to podcastmovement.com and enter SHEP, right? Or SHE Podcast?
SHEP.
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 And enter SHEP for $50 off any level of registration. They are also, we are going to be doing a lot more promotion as the days get closer. We're very excited to be partnering with them and doing some fun stuff. So please come. Philadelphia is in my hometown. I really want to see everyone there. It's always more fun when you are there. And John's going to be there this year. Da 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 da. Exciting stuff. So yeah, that's it for Podcast Movement. I'm sitting here thinking about what other news. It's such a slow news week as far as news. Everything was Infinite Dial.
Yes.
And then there was like not much else to discuss. I mean, like there's like gossip like about Michael Rapaport and how he's like pissing everyone off. He pissed somebody off on his podcast or on somebody else's podcast. And I read this morning that their posse asked their audience to, he just got 20,000 one-star reviews.
Whoa.
Because he pissed someone off, and then they went to go, hold on, I want to look it up and see if it's true. I am Rapaport. Just see if it's the mess that they said it was, because that was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
What could you say to make 20,000 people go to iTunes and give you a one-star review?
Now it's up to 35,000.
One-star reviews.
It went from being a 3.5 out of 5 to a 1.5 stars out of 5. Well, you didn't piss off 35,000 people. They said, go leave a review on this asshole's.
Oh, my gosh.
But wait, some of the reviews are hilarious. Some of them just say, not a good listen. Trash.
Yeah, see.
Mike has herpes. He got fired. Now he's done now. Oh, he got fired from something. That's what it was. He got fired from something and then. Wait, I got to close my eyes. So I don't read the reviews. He got fired from something and he badmouthed the company who then went and told their audience to go leave him a bad review. This last one, though, is perfect. A walking and wheezing used condom looking softy with the voice of my 95-year-old chain-smoking grandma. Couldn't make it through 30 minutes of an episode. I'd rather step on Legos barefoot all day or eat soup with a fork.
Oh, my gosh.
Now that is some classic review.
That is
there you go.
Holy monkeys. And you can't. And you know, it's like the power of the posse, man, the power of your people to step out and say something, you know. I hope that some of
most
this stuff
of them just
used.
Say trash, clown, trash, you're a bum, trash, hot trash, hot garbage.
Yeah, that's not good.
Man.
And that never goes away.
No. Nope.
Like, they'll never go back and, because they'll never go back and take that off.
They can't.
Right. Well, I mean, they can go back and
Apple
change it.
Do that. Apple can take some of that stuff off, but it has to, like, you kind of have to prove that it's sort of against the terms of service where it is in some way, you know, violent, aggressive, or that is harming the brand in some way, you know, not as in like, in somebody has put something out that it really truly is like bad, but if somebody's out there bad mouthing people, if you can prove like defamatory material or anything like that, then, you know, you can totally do that. But they don't do that very often. Apple doesn't necessarily do that very often. And I know that this has happened in the past, too, where...
And what a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but see, there's been other times when nefarious practices like this... Do you remember, John? I think you might have remembered this a while ago. And I'm not sure if Jess and I spoke about it on this show, but I just happened to have been looking through our show notes for the feed. And I saw that there was a point there where there was those people that were going to their competitors and leaving one-star reviews.
I was just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what it was a crime.
That's fucked up.
Crime, yeah. Crime and cocktails. They started a podcast, and what they did, they went to every other crime podcast, and they put a one-star review and said, "This podcast is neither drunk nor funny. Please go listen to Crime and Cocktails." And they did it on 31 shows. Well... They got, again, what happened was someone reported them to Apple, and those one-star reviews were actually taken off. But what every other podcaster did after that was, you know, put out into the Facebook community, they went and listened, and then Crime and Cocktails got a bunch of one-star reviews for themselves. So a little bit of karma. Mm.
Yeah, so you can, and it's just tough whenever you can. You could see how you can leverage both Apple Podcast, iTunes, you know, to, because it's set with an algorithm, right? So this isn't curated manually by a human unless they decide to go in there and change things manually here and there. But there is a certain process by which that some of that stuff has to work. And also, you know, the power of your community and asking your community to do certain things. And I know, and here's another interesting thing. Like, what would it take? Like, what is the type of thing that your community would do for you like this? Usually, whenever you mobilize a community, you don't ask of them to do things like this very often. I feel like these are some thoughts that I've been having about this. You don't ask them to do it all the time, meaning you don't make them do something every week. And also, you only request it when it really matters. And what I see from a lot of different podcasters is that they keep asking their community to do all kinds of stuff all the time. They're over it. They don't want to. Like, if we keep asking our people, like, you go leave the review, go sign up for my thing. I'm doing a program. We're going to be doing a show live in, you know, Kansas, you know, and all of these different things. And if you keep on asking your people to do all of these things, they're kind of not going to know what to do, right? And that renders people just they just won't take action with you. I know that, you know, for Libsyn, for the show, for the feed, we rarely ask them to do anything. Like, we don't really have anything. Like, we don't ask them to sign up for anything. We don't ask them to leave us reviews or anything. The only thing we ask is for feedback. And one thing that I'm proud of is that I generally get a piece of feedback within an hour of release, which is awesome. So either email, comment, something that is from somebody who's actually listened versus somebody going like, great show, guys, but they actually have a comment. And the other thing that I noticed today, too, is that I did have a call to action this week on the show. I offered, you know, that Trello board that I have for social media marketing that I only offer to my clients. And then I have mentioned it on the show one time before, and I just mentioned it. And I said, you guys can sign up, can look at this board for free. You just have to follow the link. The link is only in the show notes. So you're going to have to go to the show notes. And as of now, there's been 13 people who have signed up. So from that. Now, that's going to, I just want you guys to know, too, that we have over 1,000 listeners per episode per month for the feed. And you could see it as only 13, but hey, it's 13. So I don't want you guys to think that whenever you do a call to action for your show, it's going to be like hundreds of people, even though you have thousands. My guesstimate for call to action is possibly 0.05% of your listeners are actually going to take action. That's what I figure. 0.01 to 0.05 for these basic things. So don't think that they're all going to do it. They won't, even if they want to. So this for me has been big. And it's really nice to see that there's been so many people that have signed up for Trello. And that's the only reason I get those comments, because I see like, oh, so-and-so signed up on your recommendation. So I've had 13 people sign up for Trello in the past. Like,
wow.
I know.
Awesome.
I'm like, woohoo.
You'll get it for free forever. The longer I use it, the more I get it for free too, actually.
I know.
It's pretty fun.
So I'm so excited to get it to read for it. Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway. Awesome. I have something else that I want to bring up. Maybe we can go into some tool tips. Could we do that?
Elsie's tool tips.
Okay. So right now we are recording this episode of She Podcasts in this fashion because I have the crappiest internet in the whole entire planet. So this is our setup at this moment. I am recording locally on my computer using Amadeus Pro and my H2N. So my voice is being recorded there. And I am not connected to John and Jessica via the computer. At the same time, I am using my iPhone and I'm using Skype on the iPhone to hear them. So they can hear me via my phone. So the audio that's going into them is not the audio that's going to be on the episode.
Thank God.
Because of the crappy phone and stuff. So, but here's my problem. My problem is that whenever I do this setup, I can't mute what's happening here. And so what I generally do when we record via Skype is that when I'm talking, I'm unmuted, but whenever I stop talking, I mute myself because that way nothing comes into the recording. John gets a cleaner recording. And if somebody comes into the room, if I have to talk to my girls, if I have to do anything like that, I don't have to stop the show. So if Jessica and John are talking, I don't have to be like, okay, excuse me, guys, I have to go deal with this. I'm usually muted and I deal with all that stuff and they don't even hear it and I can just come back. But whenever we have this set up, I can't mute. So I got a suggestion from one of the feed listeners because I mentioned this on the show and they gave me this really neat little app called Shush. S-H-U-S-H. And this is for the Mac. It's $4.99. And what Shush does is at its core, it works like an external mute button. So it mutes your voice no matter where. But I'm gonna continue, but I'm gonna give you the scoop on what's good and what's bad. So when would you use this? You would use this in a scenario like mine at this moment, or you would use this, like, let's say you're doing something else that you're recording or like, you know, there is no way for you to mute yourself inside of the phone or go to meeting or, you know, any of those other things like Google Hangouts or anything like that. Even though all of those guys have mute functionalities. So you can do that. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to use it today. I downloaded it. I have it in here. It's a super light little app that you can have on your Mac. And it's got all these great uses and all this stuff. And as soon as I turn it on, it says unmutable devices, your H2N. And I was like, oh! So even though I downloaded it so I could mute my H2N, it doesn't do it. So I'm very bummed. But I'm sharing, sharing the app anyway with you guys because I think if you have, like, this is a great tool to have if you have a Mac for $4.99 to have something like this where if there's something that you cannot mute, some microphones, it looks here like where they do have the specifics of certain devices that cannot be muted because that's at a system level. But there are some microphones that can, absolutely. So if your microphone does not have a mute within it and it's not one of the unmutable devices, you could use this $5 app and totally save yourself some editing if you need it. So I just thought I'd share that. How about that, John?
One of the unmutables.
The unmutables, I know.
Well, last week...
Is that like the undesirables?
Kind of.
Right. The girls came in to talk to Elsie and the door kept opening and closing. I got most of them, but there was one time when Elsie was talking and the door shut, so I couldn't get that one. And then there was a time where Isaac had also, same episode, Isaac had walked in on Jessica, and I was able to get all that out because Elsie was talking. And the nice thing about it was you guys just were you could hear all that noise in the background and you just kept talking and it didn't even throw you off. So that was – and that's also the nice thing about recording someone on separate tracks because if you record it all on the same track, that it all would be
in there.
It
would be a disaster.
You cannot get it out. I don't know if that's a yay or a nay with the app. I mean, and just because it didn't work for you and you're out $4.99, but –
But it's good. I mean, it's a good thing. And I think that maybe you guys can test it out if you guys ever need this, because I do feel that it's important and a lot of things don't have mute capabilities. And those are like, I mean, at this moment, that's something else that I'm still looking for, to be able to in some way mute the audio since the mic itself doesn't have a mute capability, because it really is important. And, I guess kind of staying with audio production and audio leveling specifically, I also listened to another podcast, you know, for to see somebody that we might be working with here very soon. And again, it's interesting how for me, it no longer is about the quality quality of audio, meaning whether or not you even have a proper microphone or if your guest has a proper microphone. I'm okay with phone quality. I really am okay with that. What I'm not okay with is the volume changes between people. That is more of a deal breaker for me than you having, like, I'd rather you do a show entirely on the phone, like the whole thing, so that you come in and you're like, hi, my name is so-and-so, and you're and the whole thing is on a phone line. Like, I would prefer that than you come in with your wonderful microphone, and then you do your interview, and then you sound loud and super great, and then your guest is super low, and you can barely hear them, and they're on mic, and then it's like this constant, like, oh my God, my ears are about to have a problem here because I don't know how to set the volume. Again, because I'm usually not seated in front of my computer when I'm listening. I'm out in the world. So a lot of the time I'm out in the street listening to your podcast. And if your guest is talking and they're super low and I crank up the volume and then you come in and you talk and you blow my eardrums off, that for me, it's like it feels like public safety. It's my health, man. I'm going to have to stop listening. I can't listen. So it is, it does, it matters. It matters a lot. And Auphonic, please, you guys, you have to even in something as simple as that, that could just level your audio so that you and your guests sound at the same volume level is a lot. For me, it's a lot more important than the actual quality of the audio itself. Like, I don't know if there's another word for that, John, the difference between like,
The loudness.
Yeah, like the loudness levels of that versus the, and when I'm saying quality, I'm talking about, you know, I don't know how to say good quality versus bad quality in terms of like, how would you, what vocabulary would you use for somebody who's using a good audio like we are right now versus the sound that's coming from, let's say, a phone line? Isn't that, that's a little bit more degraded, right?
Yes. Well, again, see, for me, I like the idea of at least one of the hosts sounding like they're in a – and again, I shouldn't even say that because one of my favorite shows is I Shake My Head with Lisa and Sam, and they sit in a car, and they have lavalier mics on, and it sounds like they're in a car. So to me – and I love that show. So yes, if you really like the content, it's not going to make a difference. But what happens is if you got to ride that volume button up and down because one person's on mic and one person's off, then that is where – it's horrible. And what you have to do is you have to bring both voices up to the same loudness. And that's where, you know, normalizing and luffs come into play. And if you don't, if you're not doing that, and you're definitely going to lose a lot of people. You might get them to come for a little bit, but they're not going to stay.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think sometimes if you do, this is when you do have to do a little bit of extra work. And I have to say that it is an easier type of fix. And a lot of us don't really know that there's a problem in the first place. So I would rather you do a little bit of research about that, the loudness of your show, and to listen to your own show when you're out, because it out in the world, meaning, you know, you listen and you see like what your experience is in listening to the show, because we fall in love with our show and the content, and we should, that's part of it. But the way that it's being received, it's not what you think. And so I implore you guys to level it up just a little bit more. And again, it's not about big investment. It's really just about the experience of the listener. You've got to get them into your ears. And I have to say that there's been a couple times that I've had to stop listening to somebody because it was either too low and I've rode the volume all the way up and I can't listen any louder and I still can't hear. Or it's this total thing like where it's really loud and really low and I can't do it. And I'm a huge fan. I will fight to listen to you. And then when I have to quit, there's a problem. So when I'm like,
if you have a blue Yeti or a blue snowball in the middle of the table and you're having a conversation with somebody else, you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. You're doing it wrong. You should have a mic for each person because one of you are going to sound good and one of you are going to sound off mic, or both of you are going to sound off mic. Unless you're like head to head, nose to nose, and nobody does an interview like that, that's tough. So you should really have one mic per person. And you know, I know everybody wants to start and get something out there. I get that. So if you're doing it right now and you're trying to get some money together to get a better setup, I guess, you know, that's fine. Get it out there. But just know that it's hard to grow an audience anyhow, and you need every little advantage you can get. That's the way I look at it.
Yep. I agree. I agree with that. Thank you. That's very nice. Every little advantage to set yourself a little bit higher.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Yay.
I agree.
I think all right. We've done it. We've done it.
Puppy up, huh?
We've done it. Let's do it. Yep.
We have done it and done it and done it. And
there's done no more to say. We've said it all.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's no more. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to She Podcasts, the podcast. You can check us out on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram at She Podcasts. You can also send us an email, info or feedback at shepodcast.com. Please check out once again our sponsors, Podcast Movement. Coupon code is SHEP. Emerald City Productions, their website's Emerald City Pro. Ask for the free assessment. I believe he also is offering a checklist. More on that next time. Thank you so much. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.